Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of Freaks and Geeks. If you haven't already, join our community of like-minded geeks over at our Facebook page. Smash that like button and let us know what your interests are. Talk to us. I mean, we're real people, and we've all had experiences. We've all had some really great experiences in our lives. We've all had a lot of paranormal experiences that you can talk to us about. Anywho, we love talking to our listeners again. I think you'll find that we are composed of some pretty keen folks. Tonight, I am joined by my ghostly gal pal, Carrie.
Hey, hey, y'all.
And Mr. Christopher Goodpasture.
Well, I say I like to sit on my porch and I like to drink my tea while I monitor my land.
All right. And the last one, we have our paranormal pioneer, Stacy.
Stacy?
She gone.
It got too paranormal. No,
it happened again. It happened again. She left us. Anyway, so Stacy is here with us
somewhere. In the ether.
Stacy, come to us. Come to the light. Come to the light, Stacy. She's literally in the ether. She has been sucked up by the ghost of Blog Talk, and she's missing. Someone help her. She's in there with Sasquatch, undoubtedly, and maybe those people from the UFO episode that we just did.
She was abducted by
Betty and Barney West, right? Is that it?
Betty and Barney Hill West.
Some
four letters.
A landmark, a direction.
Shit. Betty and Barney shit. Bullshit, specifically.
You poo poo.
I
alien abduction.
Shit
so
on. Yeah, I do.
Don't poo poo it.
I poo poo the hell out of that.
Don't poo poo it.
Hey, guys.
Oh, Jesus. There she is. We found her.
She's back.
I am so sorry. I don't know what's going on. It says that I'm connected, but I couldn't hear anything.
It's the ghost of Blog Talk. It's
yeah,
fine.
What I can see, you're connected to, so I don't know. Just the usual.
Yeah, I have no idea.
Well, you know, here we are all together once again, big family. So, Stacy, where in the world, or underworld, I should say, are we going to head this evening?
Okay, so this evening we're actually dealing with something right here on Earth, believe it or not. Not outer space, not inner space. Well, maybe inner space. I don't know. We'll see. A poltergeist.
Well, I mean, I would be remiss. I would be lying if I wasn't a little disappointed that we're not going outer space. But
don't worry, Chris. We'll get back to Uranus soon.
I mean,
do we ever get that far away from it?
No, never.
No. Never far enough.
We just landed on Mars. When are we getting to Uranus? I mean,
fantastic.
Oh, Christopher. Moon
Uranus. back on track, I guess. So, a poltergeist is a ghost, right?
Well, as usual, you're not wrong, but you're also not right.
Sounds about par for the course when it comes to describing me.
My first paranormal case is actually a poltergeist.
No, I really want to hear about that. You're going to tell us later, right?
Absolutely. It was a very
good.
She was touched by a poltergeist.
I was touched by a poltergeist.
A poltergeist?
Probed, if you will.
Yes.
Oh, God. Oh, not again. The probing. I thought I was getting a week off from the probing, and here we are again.
Nope.
Oh, you thought wrong.
Okay, so a poltergeist comes from the old German word meaning noisy spirit, because a lot of poltergeist cases manifest as just that, noise.
That can include banging on the wall or cabinets, throwing doors open or slamming them shut, wreaking havoc with the lights, basically just making a ruckus, a really loud ruckus. Sometimes it manifests by stacking objects in an odd way. We've all seen the movie Poltergeist.
You're going to have to.
Nope.
Now you have to.
Nope. Mm. I don't do scary movies.
I have to do research. I'm going to write about Poltergeist in my magazine article this month. So
you don't need me there to do that.
You'll get another whole dose of it. So the stacking of the chairs that was in Poltergeist is actually a classic symptom of a poltergeist haunting. And for this reason, as well as films portraying poltergeist activity, these types of hauntings are typically considered to be some of the scariest.
Okay, yeah. So I'm just going to tell you that movie Poltergeist scared the shit out of me. I remember I had to watch it. My dad was working out in Philly at the time, and it was on TV. And I think I was like four. I want to say I was like four. It was on like an ABC. Remember how ABC's... Yeah, well, remember how ABC used to do those, like, movies, like Thursday night movies or whatever on ABC? So it was on ABC, and I remember my mom and my sister wanted to watch it. My sister's, like, 6 years older than me, so she was, like, 10 at the time, and they really wanted to watch it. So I had to watch it. I, like, was staying up for some reason, and I'll tell you what, to this day, I'm fucking scared of my closet. I don't like snow on TVs. Like, you know, you get, like, the snow. Yeah, it freaks me out. I hear the theme song from that movie, and, like, I'm, like, looking for the remote. I can't do it. So, Chris, I seriously, if you don't have to watch it, dude, don't watch it.
I mean, I'm my own man. I do what I want.
Well,
I'm not going to watch it.
Yeah, if you don't have to watch it, don't watch it. I mean, we sometimes have knocking, like a little bit. Like, we'll hear like sounds in our house, and there have been times that like the bathroom door has completely opened on its own. Like, it's closed, latched, and it opened. And I've seen some things here in the house, but it's like never scared me, because we're pretty sure that it's our we actually kind of believe it's our next door neighbor who passed away several years ago, right before Josh was born. And because my neighbor next door, she says, oh, yeah, I hear him upstairs all the time. It was her husband. He died in the house next door. And, you know, he was a big trickster. So she says he likes to do stuff. So when shit goes missing in the house, we always say it was him, that he moved it and put it someplace. And then we find it, and it's like, oh, thanks. Thanks for moving that and letting us find it now that we don't need it. So,
well, these types of disturbances can start out that way for sure, but definitely build up steam as the haunting progresses.
Well, you guys keep saying spirits and hauntings. So can somebody explain to me why this is not a ghost?
A lot of people think that they are ghosts. Obviously that's even where their name came from. But modern science has actually necked down poltergeist hauntings to a type of psychokinetic activity.
All right, you're going to have to help me out with this.
So I got you, girl. Psychokinetic activity actually resides within the individual. For instance, imagine that it is actually possible for you to move things with your mind. Like, that was real life.
I can do that.
You think you can do that?
I do.
Okay. So you're talking about consciously moving things with your mind? Like, I'm sitting here and I'm going to, like, move the remote control off the table right now.
Telekinesis.
I'm not getting it.
Well, in theory, for a poltergeist haunting specifically, it would be the unconscious mind. But if you could move them consciously or unconsciously, either way, it would be pretty freaky, right?
Right.
So imagine that under periods of extreme stress, emotional, psychological, physical, whatever it may be, as well as some fluctuations in your hormones level, your hormone levels, you were capable of moving things without even knowing that you were doing it.
So during that special time of the month, is this more prevalent to happen?
Actually, not necessarily the special time of the month, but a woman's menarche, which is her very first period,
Who came up with the term menarche?
That's a scientific term for it.
I was going to say, that totally makes sense, that term, but...
Scientific term for it.
Yeah.
Threw some scientific stuff at you.
Who was high when they came up with that name?
Or a woman who is getting ready to go through menopause. Like, those are the types of hormonal changes that I'm talking about. Not necessarily every month, although I'm sure that there are some women out there that would definitely say, hell yes, my hormones vary quite greatly during my period, and I'm sure that I can move things with my sheer rage alone. So I'm sure that could be a thing.
Wow. I mean,
for sure.
Particularly if you have something where your hormones are off and there is a big fluctuation.
Yeah, definitely.
Like PCOS or something else like that.
Yeah, definitely. So a poltergeist in refined paranormal circles, so not just like Jim Bob with his flashlight and his, you know, like K2 meter, you know, like not
Jim
those
Bob.
Guys. Oh, Jim Bob, refined.
Someone get Chuck.
Yeah, Chuck. Old Chuck. No, I would consider Chuck pretty refined, actually. Chuck is a funny story. We'll have to tell. Well, maybe Christmas special, we'll talk about Chuck a little bit and how much Chuck means to us. So in refined paranormal circles full of paranormal investigators that are very serious about this field, a poltergeist is known as an entity that is actually manifested by a living person. It has nothing to do with the dead. This living person is unaware of their abilities and by and large can't control them. They manifest physical phenomena through what is called psychokinesis, basically mind movement. So you already kind of keyed into telekinesis, which goes hand in hand with psychokinesis, right?
Okay, so bottom line is, now I understand why my house is in complete freaking chaos between all of my stress and the fact that I swear I'm pre-menopausal at this moment in my life. Yeah. Okay. Uh-huh. It makes a lot of sense. Now we know why all this shit's going missing.
Yeah. Well, I mean, if you so happen to walk into a room and see it all stacked up on top of each other, like in a really weird way, then, you know,
I'm fucking burning the house down.
Well, but it's you, though. The problem is you. You moved to an apartment, you have the same problem.
I got a show I want to pitch to Fox about a group of women who are just making poltergeists via their strong...
Would it be a comedy?
Psychokinesis.
That's not a TV show. That's the longest house.
They can only fight evil during specified times of the month.
Like they're looking for the and all the tampons are stacked end on end. Like, damn it, Cheryl.
You're basically talking about the craft, or what was that show with Shannon Doherty and them on TV? That's called The Craft?
Yeah, Charmed.
Yeah, you're basically talking, okay, so reinventing Charmed with all the same actresses. Because they're all old now.
Right, exactly. Make them 3 minutes
part two.
So nobody wants to mess with them, and they're making poltergeists to fight evil.
Well, I guess at some point, if you become aware of the poltergeist, would it kind of become like a tulpa?
A what?
A tulpa?
An entity that is created just by people believing in it.
Some theories are of the Men in Black, or that the Men in Black are tulpas brought into this world by who was the first main guy? His name escapes me.
Are you talking about
Indrid Cold?
It's Indrid Cold.
I don't think it was him.
Okay, well,
But
do your crazy research, but it's intercold.
No, I don't think it's. But I mean, in essence, it's kind of like the overarch. Like they would fall into the category of tulpa, being that it's something you brought into this world. You brought into the physical world because of your belief, or not belief, but your creation of it from. I don't want to say nothing, because then that goes against, you know, Einstein.
Please don't. Yeah, please don't try to go against Einstein, okay?
Let's work with science. Let's not work against science.
But yes, it seems like it would definitely fall under the same logic of as a tulpa.
Yep. So. So if you watch, if you are out there and you watch a lot of like Dead Files, then you already know kind of what some of this is. So a person can either manifest into a poltergeist, like their emotions can manifest into a poltergeist, which is, you know, as we've already said, a noisy ghost, one that just does disturbances. But if left unchecked and left untreated, then that entity can really kind of turn into a like a psychokinetic entity that is on its own, that does its own thing, that has its own thoughts and feelings, and it can actually manifest into a really nasty haunting that is very complicated and very hard to remove because it is attached to the person. But there is some opportunity there for it to kind of detach and become its own thing, if that makes any sense.
Yeah.
That's really freaky.
A PK haunting, that's what they're talking about when they talk about like PK hauntings. I know Amy Allen talks about them a lot, like PK manifestations, PK hauntings, because there's a lot of people out there that experience these PK hauntings that think that they're being haunted by a ghost, like that was a person, like a human spirit, but in all reality, they're being haunted by something that's very inhuman, and that is a PK manifestation.
April actually talked to Amy Allen.
Oh, I did. Yes,
hashtag
I did.
#humblebrag.
I did. I did actually talk to Amy Allen. I forgot that I talked to Amy Allen.
How could you forget? I thought she was your queen.
You should have seen her when
it was just so emotionally overwhelming. Your brain had to block it out.
She was trying to avoid making her own PK.
I was trying to avoid making an Amy Allen PK manifestation because I love her so much. Yeah, I did talk to her. Like had a conversation, short lived, but still like it was multiple like back and forth, which I'm very proud of.
Framed on the wall.
That's cool.
I mean, I actually found out last night. I was super shocked. So Carrie and I have been writing for this magazine. This is completely off the topic. Carrie and I have been writing for this magazine called Living Paranormal Magazine for, I don't know, 6 months now, going on 6 months. And, we love it. We love the magazine. We love the people associated with the magazine. It's been wonderful. And I pretty much know most of the people associated with the magazine, but last night I went through because I am a grade A geek. And I made a spreadsheet of all of the, I made a spreadsheet of all of the topics and the writers and the issues so that that way we could make sure that we weren't overlapping topics. Again,
you got a nerd alert.
That's a good idea.
Yes. Yeah. It's real bad.
And look who she's married to. Of course you like spreadsheets.
So I made this spreadsheet, and last night I found out that the magazine has a really big relationship with, like, Jack Kenna and, like, Dustin Perry from Taps and, like, all these other people that, like, I've read their books. Like, I have read their purchased on Amazon with my meager salary and read their books and been like, oh, man, I want to be that kind of serious about this one day. I want to be able to be this kind of serious about this one day. And we have been writing in the magazine that they write in all along. Like that was, I just, wow. I was gobsmacked.
Instant wet moment.
Instant wet moment. I both peed myself and everything else. Everything to go with it.
Yep, all fluids exited.
All fluids exited the body.
I'm glad I was asleep during this time.
Yeah.
So I know I was just judging you about the spreadsheet, but could you send that to me?
Yeah, man. I got you. I was going to do it before you came on, but...
This is the rest of the show. Just talking about April's geekness.
I know. We got to get going or else we're not going to get to the Bell Witch. And we got to get to that Bell Witch, yo.
All right. Back on track. Basically, right. So basically, I could move things with my mind.
In theory, anyone could. This understanding all began as a part of the work of parapsychologist Dr. William G. Rohl in the 1950s and 60s. Rohl proposed and wrote numerous academic papers on a theory called recurrent spontaneous psychokinesis, or RSPK.
RSPK occurs when some of the phenomena that we've already talked about, plus also scratches seeming to manifest out of nowhere, orbs appearing, and audible voices like actual spirit communication. This type of event can be basically traced back to one living person manifesting it. It's like we already talked about. So that's pretty crazy, huh?
Yeah.
Yes.
I don't know how it can go on living knowing that I can. You think men can manifest these things?
No, you don't.
Or do you think it's mostly just women?
I think it could be both. It definitely can be both. But it seems like the overwhelming number of cases is women.
Yeah, it does seem, I would agree with that wholeheartedly. It does seem like the overwhelming amount of cases are centered around women. And I wonder if that's hormonal based. Like, I wonder if it's because of estrogen or it has something to do with the way the mind reacts, either with the ebb or the flow of estrogen. But I will also say that I have read about a couple of encounters where male combat veterans have had poltergeist cases because of the intense trauma that they had on the battlefield.
Well,
so
I can believe that. I was going to say that it's mostly women because we're all full of repressed rage, but then you brought up combat veterans, so I don't really feel like I can say that anymore.
Well, I have a lot of repressed rage.
Okay.
All right, Angel Baby.
I knew exactly what you were about to say.
Okay. Yep. So continuing right along.
You keep that to yourself.
Okay.
Because you know you're wrong.
All right. You want to introduce the story, sir?
Well, maybe I do. So.
Maybe you should.
Well, I do know about one supposed poltergeist. And that's a really famous story called The Bell Witch.
Dun, dun, dun.
Story time.
Yeah, you know
not to be confused with the Blair Witch.
Yeah.
Not to be confused with the Blair Witch. That is something that people get very confused on.
Is that a true story?
The Blair Witch?
Yeah.
It has some folklore tradition.
It's not
a
true.
It's all a true story.
All documented.
I'm going to take you there soon.
Oh, goody. So,
and they're all still in the woods.
Maryland.
They're all still in the woods.
They're still in the basement.
Well, I'm going to make you stand
looking
in the
wall. So we need to give credit where credit is due. So the majority of the information for tonight's episode, besides our own minds, is a mix of our own experiences with poltergeists, a series of articles by Stephen Wagner on Thought Company, and Dr. William G. Rohl's extensive academic works on the subject. So in Albert Virgil Goodpasture's History of Tennessee... Oh, sweet Jesus.
What?
Yeah.
Pardon?
Yeah. Albert.
What the actual fuck did you just say?
Albert Goodpasture. That sounds made up.
Albert,
that sounds like
Virgil
a Shakespeare
Goodpasture
name.
No, you got to come correct when you're coming with that name. It's Albert Virgil Goodpasture, ma'am.
Oh, pardon me.
Oh, my goodness. All right, continue on, good sir.
I mean, I'll try. So, Mr. Goodpasture wrote, I got to try to channel my best Foghorn Leghorn. I say a remarkable occurrence. No, I can't do that. It's too long for me to do that. I tried.
You were doing really well. I don't know why you broke character. That was really good.
I laugh at myself too easily. So, a remarkable occurrence which attracted widespread interest was connected with the family of John Bell, who settled near what is now Adams Station about 1804. So great was the excitement that people came from hundreds of miles around to witness the manifestations of what was popularly known as the Bell Witch. This witch was supposed to be some spiritual being having the voice and attributes of a woman. It was invisible to the eye, yet it would hold conversation and even shake hands with certain individuals. The feats it performed were wonderful and seemingly designed to annoy the family. It would take the sugar from the bowls, spill the milk, take the quilts from the beds, slap and pinch the children, and then laugh at the discomfort of its victims. At first, it was supposed to be a good spirit, but its subsequent acts, together with the curses with which it supplemented its remarks, proved the contrary. A volume might be written concerning the performance of this wonderful being, as they are now described by contemporaries and their descendants. That all this actually occurred will not be disputed, nor will a rational explanation be attempted. I remember a time when I could sit on the porch and just drink tea, and the women couldn't vote, and life was all good.
Okay, I have to talk like this too?
I put everybody to sleep.
I think you're channeling a little too hard.
Oh.
I tried.
I don't even know how to follow that. All right, I'm not going to do any kind of voice here.
No, I think it was I think she was trying to test me, and I probably failed.
You failed.
I mean, at least it sounded fun.
Yes. All right, I'll give you that. I will give you that.
Yes. Oh goodness. All right. So, like most ghost stories, certain details do vary, but the prevailing account is that it was the spirit of Kate Batts, a mean old neighbor of John Bell, who believed she was cheated by him in a land purchase. On her deathbed, she swore that she would haunt John Bell and his descendants. The story is picked up by the Guidebook for Tennessee, published in 1933 by the federal government's Works Project Administration. Sure enough, tradition says the Bells were tormented for years by the malicious spirit of old Kate Batts. John Bell and his favorite daughter, Betsy, were the principal targets. Toward the other members of the family, the witch was either indifferent or, as in the case of Mrs. Bell, actually friendly. No one ever saw her, but every visitor to the Bell home heard her all too well. Her voice, according to one person who heard it, spoke at a nerve-wracking pitch when displeased, while at other times it sang and spoke in low musical tones. The spirits of old Kate led John and Betsy Bell a merry chase. She threw furniture and dishes at them. She pulled their noses, yanked their hair, poked needles into them. This all sounds very pleasant, doesn't it? She yelled all night.
Idea of a good time.
Oh yeah, she yelled all night to keep them from sleeping and even snatched food from their mouths at mealtime. Man, what a bitch.
So when you say she was friendly to Mrs. Bell, do we know how friendly?
Oh, like she was nice to her, didn't attack her or hurt her or anything like that.
Right.
She
would, you know.
She wasn't like a special friend.
No, Christopher.
I knew. Stop. Why did I know you were going there? As soon as you said it.
What?
As soon as you said that, I knew you were going there.
I did too.
I just knew it.
I hope it wasn't true.
So.
I mean, I'm sure times were tough. She probably wanted, you know, a buddy.
Remind me at the end of this story that I have a test for Chris.
Oh,
yeah.
All right. Are we probing stuff?
Oh, yes.
Make sure you're listening good. Just listen.
She's trying so hard to, like, impunge Poltergeist because last week I shit all over his fucking alien probes.
The correct term is poo-pooed. You poo-pooed all over my alien.
I did. I poo-pooed all over your alien.
Those are some crazy-ass stories, though.
They were crazy.
That's what makes them fantastic. Truth is stranger than fiction.
Right. Right. Right.
All right. Well, I knew that you saved this next part just for me.
Oh, you know. You know I did.
So widely spread was the news about the Bell Witch that people came from hundreds of miles around hoping to hear the spirit's shrill voice or witness a manifestation of its vile temper. When word of the haunting reached Nashville, one of its most famous citizens, General Andrew Jackson, decided to gather a party of friends and journey to Adams to investigate. The general, who had earned his tough asshole reputation in many conflicts with the Native Americans, was determined to confront the phenomenon and either expose it as a hoax or send the spirit away. A chapter in M.V. Ingram's 1894 book, An Authenticated History of the Famous Bell Witch, considered by many to be the best account of the story, is devoted to Jackson's visit. General Jackson's party came from Nashville with a wagon loaded with a tent, provisions, etc., bent on a good time and much fun investigating the witch. The men were riding on horseback and were following along in the rear of the wagon as they approached near the place, discussing the matter and planning how they were going to do up the witch. Just then, traveling over the smooth, level piece of road, the wagon halted and stuck fast. The driver popped his whip, whooped and shouted to the team, and the horses pulled with all of their might, but could not move the wagon an inch. It was dead stuck, as if it were welded to the earth. General Jackson commanded all men to dismount and put their shoulders to the wheels and give the wagon a push, but all in vain. It was a no-go. The wheels were then taken off, one at a time, and examined and found to be all right, no issues. They were revolving easily on the axles. General Jackson, after a few moments, thought, realizing that they were in a fix, threw open their hands, exclaiming, "By the eternal, boys, it is the witch." Then came the sound of a sharp metallic voice from the bushes saying, "All right, General, let the wagon move on. I'll see you again tonight." The men in bewildered.
I can feel it calling in the air tonight. Oh, Lord. That was singing. That was a hit that year, by the way. A lot of people don't know that. Phil Collins is very old.
He was driving the wagon.
Jackson's men. He was one of Jackson's men.
Yep.
Jackson 5.
Yeah, he had the whole melody in the trailer. He was too.
Tito was there too.
Oh man, everybody. The men looked around in bewildered astonishment, looking in every direction to see if they could discover from whence came the strange voice, but could find no explanation to the mystery. The horses then started unexpectedly of their own accord, and the wagon rolled along as light and smoothly as ever.
I bet Jackson loved that.
That it just rolled by itself?
Rolled on like a rolling stone.
All right, it's the witch.
You know, Papa was a rolling stone.
Papa was a rolling stone.
Well, according to some versions of the story, Jackson did indeed encounter the Bell Witch that night. Betsy Bell screamed all night for, oh my,
gosh,
from her encounter with the general. But she was screaming all night from the pinching and the slapping she received. Oh, sorry, he was. He was. I'm confused.
Lord, you have a paragraph.
So Betsy Bell screamed all night from the pinching and slapping she received from the witch. And Jackson's covers were ripped off as quickly as he could put them back on. And he had his entire party of men were slapped, pinched, and had their hair pulled by the witch until morning. Man, this sounds like one hell of a party.
I don't think you can.
When Jackson and his men decided to hightail it out of Adams, Jackson was later quoted as saying, "I'd rather fight the British in New Orleans than to have to fight the Bell Witch."
Dun, dun, dun.
Is he? You just have a pack of grown men running from the house screaming like little girls.
That's what happens in Poltergeist, probably.
Hard grizzled. Well, if these are, if what you were saying about PTSD and stuff like that, do you think that would feed into it if it was a Poltergeist?
No, because it's only attached to one person.
Mm. Right, it's not attached to them.
At this point, it seems like it's not attached to anybody. It's its own entity.
So, this one could be a PK manifestation, but in all reality, there are some other explanations that we will get into here in a little bit.
Well, okay. I'm just trying to explore the possibility.
Okay. Well, I would like you to explore the possibility of reading the script ahead of time. Anywho.
Burn, bitch.
Thanks, Stacey. Punch you in the boobs.
Me or Stacey, because I feel like that's a really long distance boob punch. You might have a PK manifestation if you're punching her in the boobs. The torment of the Bell House continued for years, culminating in the ghost's ultimate act of vengeance upon the man she claimed had cheated her. She took responsibility for his death. In October 1820, Bell was struck with an illness while walking to the pigsty of his farm. Some believe that he suffered a stroke. Since thereafter, he had difficulty speaking and swallowing. In and out of bed for several weeks, his health declined. The Tennessee State University in Nashville, Tennessee, tells this part of the story. On the morning of December 19th, he failed to awake at his regular time. When the family noticed that he was sleeping unnaturally, they attempted to arouse him. Christopher.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. They discovered Bell was in
his room and he doesn't want it.
Jeez, man. Let him right up to the... Right,
I mean,
up to the
like
water.
To
oh my God. All right. So when the family noticed he was sleeping unnaturally, they attempted to arouse him. They discovered Bell in a stupor and couldn't be completely awakened. John Jr. went to the medicine cupboard to get his father's medicine and noticed it was gone, with a strange vial in its place. No one claimed to have replaced the medicine with the vial. A doctor was summoned to the house. The witch began taunting that she had placed the vial in a medicine cabinet and given Bell a dose of it while he slept. Contents of the vial were tested on a cat, and highly scientific, and discovered to be highly poisonous. John Bell died on December 20th. Kate was quiet until after the funeral. After the grave was filled, the witch began singing loudly and joyously. This continued until all friends and family left the gravesite.
I'm Henry the Eighth, I am Henry the Eighth. Is that what she was singing?
Yeah. You know?
It was.
Could have been Phil Collins. Could have been Phil Collins.
Can you feel the love tonight?
The Bell Witch left the Bell household in 1821, saying that she would return in 7 years' time. She made good on her promises and appeared at the home of John Bell Jr.,
where it is said she left him with prophecies of future events, including the Civil War and World Wars I and II. The ghost would reappear 107 years later in 1935, but if she did, no one in the Addams family came forward as a witness to it.
Well, I mean, people in the Addams family probably just welcomed it with open arms, you know what I'm saying? They're all weird.
The Addams family?
Yeah. You're picking up on that one. So
I did. I got it. Some claim that the spirit still haunts the area. On the property once owned by the Bells in a cave, which has since become known as the Bell Witch Cave, and many locals claim to have seen strange apparitions at the cave and at other spots on the property. A few rational explanations of the Bell Witch phenomena have been offered over the years. The haunting, they say, was a hoax perpetrated by Richard Powell, the school teacher of Betsy Bell and Joshua Gardner, with whom Betsy was in love. It seems that Powell was also deeply in love with the young Betsy and would do anything to destroy her relationship with Gardner. Through a variety of pranks, tricks, and with the help of several accomplices, it is theorized that Powell created all of the effects of the ghost to scare Gardner away. Indeed, Gardner was the target of the witch's violent taunting, and he eventually did break up with Betsy and left the area. It has never been satisfactorily explained how Powell achieved all these remarkable effects, including paralyzing Andrew Jackson's wagon. But he did come out the winner, and he married Betsy Bell, which is weird because he was the teacher.
Story to find out that it was like a Scooby-Doo cartoon.
It could be a pedophile.
Yeah. I was going to say. Like,
and it would have gotten away with it, too, if it wasn't for all those meddling kids.
Yeah.
Well, so they don't know that it was a hoax. And, like, the fact that all of these weird things happened, that it was a female voice, all of these things, like, that has never been disproven.
Yeah, an accomplice.
I mean, he could have, but we can't prove that. That's part of the problem, that we can't prove or disprove really any of this, but we do have historical accounts to go on, and we have numerous historical accounts from very trustworthy sources. So it's quite the mystery.
Well, we have to develop time travel so we can go back and find out.
Well, here's Christopher's test.
What's
that? Who did it? Who was the Bell Witch?
I mean, I like to think that it was something paranormal, because, you know, that's more fun than a pedophile. I mean, well, that's
April, what do you think?
I think that it was a mixture. Okay. Probably. I think that all of the attention that the Bell family was getting was kind of intoxicating. And I think that they either played up some of the attacks or they played up some of the things that were happening. But that's not to say that nothing paranormal happened.
All right. Stacey, what's your call?
My call on this is, I think it's funny that the only person that this supposed spirit was friendly to was Mrs. Bell. I think it was a poltergeist manifestation from Mrs. Bell.
Yeah, I think it's kind of a combination, too. So I think that you've got Mrs. Bell, which, if you read, like, really in-depth about it, John Bell was, like, a mega asshole to everybody.
Yeah, he was. Yeah.
So, not surprising that his somewhere in the neighborhood of menopause wife, his teenage daughter who has this pedophile school teacher play all kinds of fucked up pranks on her, has poltergeist activity in his house, and then mysteriously dies from medicine that someone gave him. I don't.
Well, yeah, that part especially got me.
Oh, 100% the wife gave him the medicine.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I agree with that totally. And also, if you think about the period of time, right? So this is what, early 1800s? So his wife had absolutely probably no say in anything. And if he was already a mega asshole, like, just imagine what kind of life she probably led. So all this shit's going on, and she's probably not allowed to say anything about anything, right? She's not allowed to have any kind of opinion about anything unless it deals with, you know, washing a dish or, like, cooking something.
So you see the movie Gone with the Wind? It's kind of like that.
Yeah, well, I mean, but the whole thing is kind of like, I would not be surprised if these sorts of instances are related a lot to women, if they did occur more so in the past when women's, you know, rights and, you know, voice and things like that were more suppressed. And kind of makes you think about old-time hauntings, quote, hauntings. Were they real hauntings, or were they poltergeists in those various homes?
I mean, does a poltergeist go away if the person who conjured it dies?
So it's not a person conjuring it. Like,
unknowingly conjuring it, creating it, whatever you want to call it?
Sure, we can go with that. But I want to make sure that we don't say conjuring it. It's not... this person, this individual that is having this haunting, did not bring this on themselves.
No, it almost sounds like an energy kind of thing.
I mean, yeah. You can unknowingly conjure it.
You can unknowingly conjure it, yes, but you said conjure, which is not correct. When the person goes away, then the spirit goes away, in theory. So if it becomes a PK manifestation, then it can become an outright haunting. Like, it can separate itself from the person and go on and live its own ghostly life, where it is basically the echo of a person in extreme distress.
But before then, April, it's all... Sorry.
No, I'm sorry.
There's like a delay. I'm sorry.
That's okay. Because in that case, it breaks off from the original person, becomes its own entity.
Yeah, breaks off a piece.
Right. So what I was going to say is, up until that point, though, if that person is alive and it hasn't broken off on its own to become its own entity, then it is basically just the energy coming from the emotion from the person. So as soon as that person goes away, then that energy then goes away.
If it's still attached to the person, yes.
If it's still attached.
Yeah.
Yes.
So then, yeah, I could see why there wouldn't, like, why a lot of the so-called hauntings back in this period of time. I mean, life fucking sucked back then. I need to go shit outside in a hole. I mean, you know, if you were a woman, like, basically you did nothing but, like, give birth and clean the house. You know what I mean? Like, life just sucked. You had no electricity, no indoor plumbing. Fucking in the South in the summer with no air conditioning. Are you kidding me? Like,
yeah,
I mean,
on and shit.
Here's the thing. I'd be willing to bet that there were a lot of miserable bitches living back then that did not have the freedom to be miserable bitches, and they'd be manifesting energy all over the place.
All sorts of stacks of things going on.
Right?
Stacking up the wood, you know?
She's stacking up some wood.
Lord.
So, babe, you have a poltergeist story you'd like to tell us.
I do. I do have a poltergeist story. So
to get away from the stacked wood.
So my very, very first paranormal encounter on my own was I was interested in the paranormal. Carrie and I had been talking about starting our own group. We had kind of dipped our toe in the waters, but we had not had our own case or anything like that yet. None of that had happened. But I ended up getting hooked up with a very seasoned paranormal group in the Hampton Roads area. They've been around for a really long time. They're really trustworthy, and a lot of people go to them. And they brought me right in, and they kind of showed me everything and like what they were doing and why they were doing it. And basically the case was that there was this woman who was a professor at a nearby college, and she had been having this knocking in the walls to the point where she couldn't sleep. Now, in the last year, though, not only was she at that age where she was premenopausal for sure, but she also in the last year had lost both of her parents. So she was under some very intense emotional distress. She wasn't married or anything like that. It was just her. She was living in her parents' old home. So
not to mention it was final season. So
I don't know. It probably
grading all those papers.
It probably was close to it, actually. It was definitely in the late fall, so I would think, yeah, it was probably close. But we were trying to figure out where this haunting could be manifesting from, and everyone, of course, is thinking like, hey, it's probably her parents, and she keeps telling us that she's pretty sure that it's not her parents and that all of these different things are happening. First of all, we had knocking, we had things disappearing, and we had things stacking. And so I brought up the possibility of a poltergeist, and the lady ended up not being comfortable with basically any of that. And she wanted to do a complete cleansing, which was done. I'm not sure what happened afterward, but I am, like, now, as a seasoned paranormal investigator who's been in this field for God knows how long, I am almost positive that what we were dealing with was a poltergeist, like 100%. If I walked in there today having the experience that I have, I would have immediately sat her down and tried to get her some therapy or some help, get her hooked up with an actual, like, licensed mental health practitioner, because I think the problem was almost certainly with her. And we did hear the knocking, but it was only in rooms where she was present or that she had just been in. It was her.
So it follows the person around?
It can. I mean, it depends on it. Every poltergeist is kind of different in that regard.
Yeah, it's like a fingerprint.
Yeah. Specific to that person.
Yeah.
And if it still is the person, then it makes sense that it's happening at or near where they are, because if it's coming from them and it is energy, then, you know, the further it gets away from you, the less strong it is.
Yeah, she was terrified. I felt really bad for her. I wish that I had the experience and the confidence to be able to approach the subject a little bit more than just, like, making the suggestion and then, like, letting things kind of transgress the way they did. But I think in hindsight that I should have probably spoken up and said, you know, like, let's get you some therapy. Like, let's get you some assistance and let's make sure that you're taking care of yourself right now, because you've been through a really hard year and all of these things are very classic symptoms of a RSPK manifestation. So we need to keep that going, because no matter what you do, if you cleanse, if you've got an RSPK manifestation and you cleanse, it's not going to do anything, because you are the problem, not the house.
Well, I mean, nowadays, if you encounter that kind of thing, you could just call up Amy Allen and she'll hook you up.
I mean, you could call up Amy Allen and she might come out there.
You know what, though, April? I could see that this being a very, for you guys in your investigations, that this being a very sensitive sort of situation that you have to approach. Because if you have people that are reaching out to you for help because they believe that they are being, you know, tortured for, you know, just basic lack of vocabulary at this point in the evening for me, they're being tortured by some sort of entity in their home. And you, in your investigation, and as you hear this, you know, the evidence and see things or document things, that you think that this is a manifestation of the living person in the home. I mean, that's got to be really hard to tell somebody, and really hard to be that person and hear it.
Yeah. In all reality, that happens more often. I would say, in my experience, going into a home and doing a private investigation, there's some large chunks of possibilities immediately off the bat. So the first one is that it's a naturally occurring thing, that it's something that is a normal occurrence. It's, you know, the floorboard shifting as the temperature changes. It is a pipe that hasn't been insulated properly,
it's an animal in your attic. Yeah.
There's so many possibilities. So it could be a natural, normal cause. It could be a ghost for sure. It could be a spirit, or it could be a mental health issue. So those are really kind of the three big ones when you walk into an investigation for the first time, is you're trying to evaluate all of the characteristics between all of those different things. And, you know, there have been cases, and Carrie, I think, remember that case in Williamsburg?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yeah, with the lady. You know, we have definitely had our fair share of cases where it was mental health issues or a conflict in medication. That happens a lot too, where someone is hearing things or they're seeing things, and in all reality, the dose for whatever they're on or the concoction that they have, all of the mixture, is not quite right. And that's not something that we necessarily determine. We leave that to the professionals, but it is a variable that we can assess. We can say, like, hey, listen, maybe you should take your prescriptions to a pharmacist and let's talk through some of these prescriptions, and maybe there's something in conflict here because we're not seeing anything else.
Well, maybe their prescription cocktail is just bringing them closer to the veil.
Or maybe that, or maybe they're mixing their drugs with a little bit of vino.
The hooch.
So
I don't know. I just think this is so sensitive. Like, I can't even imagine, like, especially if you have like children or something in the home and there's all this chaos going on and kids are scared and they think there's a ghost and it turns out that it's like, you know, mommy being overly worked, overly stressed, is manifesting this thing. I mean, I just can't even imagine. I mean, I just think about it from the standpoint of a mother. If there was something going on in my house and somebody came in and said, you're the cause of it, have you thought about, you know, going to therapy or something like that? Because until you start getting your own shit squared away, it's going to continue on. It just seems to me that this particular type of phenomenon is so incredibly personal for the people that experience it, because it comes from living, that it's almost like heart-wrenching to hear that people go through so much stress and trauma that it can actually manifest itself into actual problems like this in the home.
Why you gotta meditate?
Well, that's why you need to, well, I mean, that, but you also need to deal with your feelings. You can't eat your feelings. Your feelings will eat you. You have to, you know, deal with them in a healthy
way. Literally, if you don't really deal with it, because it will come to life and become its own entity.
Yeah, you don't want that. That's a whole set of problems you don't want.
That's why I play video games. I let out all my rage on the video game.
Is that the excuse this week?
Yes. Yes.
I like to go out in the woods and scream or throw big rocks around my backyard. Or dick
holes. There's a crazy woman out there screaming in the woods again.
I'll take a
bath and wash off all of my negative energy at the end of the day.
How's that going for you?
Not great. Not great.
I actually really have started to go back to prayer again. And that has really helped me tremendously. It has, I have had a difficult few months with the Catholic Church. And just because of all the stuff that happened in Pittsburgh, I've had a really, really hard time with some of that. And I have recently started going back to prayer, and it has really helped me tremendously with all the stress that I've been under.
I mean, you got to do what helps you.
Yeah.
I got to say, that is a great thing about our show. We just presented four completely different ways of dealing with your emotions and stress.
For everybody. Playing video games, just walking out the woods and screaming your head off.
Praying, yeah.
Scaring all the woodland creatures.
Whatever works
the
for you.
No one carries around, I'll tell you that much.
You got a whole army. Squirrels.
Have you seen the Rick and Morty episode? You don't want squirrels following you?
No, she's got an army. They trust her. Well, they're scared of her probably because of her bellows.
I started watching
bellows.
I've got four squirrels, a possum, and just a passel of feral cats.
Does that need to be added to the picture that we had thrown up on you?
Probably.
That's hot dogs and just random woodland creatures.
Yeah.
That's the 2019 version.
Yeah.
Limited edition print shirts that we could sell.
That'd be great. I want one.
This is our mascot.
All right, guys. Well, the time for us to end has come closed. We're so glad you stuck with us this evening, if you did. And again, we hope that you hit us up on Facebook, join the community, hang out. We'll talk about some geeky stuff and, have a great week.
We got some fun episodes
Thanks,
coming
guys.
Up, too.
See you next time.
Bye.